The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. What we're doing, if you've been listening to Fed Access for quite some time, you know that one of the focuses for me is veterans, and I always like to keep them on the forefront and everything else. I've got some special people from Bank of America, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves and talk about them. But there's some veterans who are doing some work with Bank of America, and they are working to make sure that veterans get employed. They're working to make sure that veterans also get the kind of products and services that they need from a corporate level and the bank level that they need in order to make sure that they are able to sustain themselves and to survive and to thrive and everything else. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Jeff, I'm going to let you go for it. You spent some time.
All right, Derek, thank you. And good morning here on Veterans Day. And thank you for your service. And thanks to Louis Runyon, one of my directors sitting to my right. And also in absentia is our third director, Dayton Warfel, a Marine Corps officer, retiree down in Jacksonville, Florida, and then myself. And I'm a Navy veteran and proud to be here and talk about everything that Bank of America is doing to support active duty service members and their families, and particularly the transitioning the veterans, the soon-to-be veterans, and work to support them in any way we can to assist their civilian workplace efforts.
And this is Jeff. Kathy, tell me your title, Jeff, just so they'll know.
So I'm the Senior Military Affairs Executive at Bank of America.
Outstanding. Louis, introduce yourself.
Derek, thanks for having us on Veterans Day. It's a great day out, and it's an honor to be here. Louis Runyon, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at Bank of America. Army vet, did 10 years in the Army, started as an enlisted man, earned a scholarship, went to college, came back in as an officer. Frankly, the Army in my military career got me the opportunities where I am today, you know, growing up in the hills of East Tennessee and now working in Manhattan and in New York and coming back and forth, working on policy issues around veterans and helping bridge that civil-military divide. It's critical that we have vets in place to do that, and we have a lot of support from the community, but I think it's important that we have vets that lead those efforts and help bridge that divide that from military into the civilian community.
Outstanding. Hey, before I get into Bank of America too much, let me talk about you guys' background, because a lot of people, you know, wonder, and, you know, I always go to a number of different events and speak at different places about, you know, I was an enlisted Marine. People always wonder, you know, how'd you make the transition from enlisted Marine to doing what you're doing today? So I always like to hear those stories. Jeff, you know, you served on the Enterprise and everything else, aviator. Give your background and give your story about how you came from the military and then all the way up into this moment.
You bet, Derek. And I joined the military in 1979. And then I left in 2008. And mostly I made about 10 deployments on aircraft carriers.
Wow.
Worldwide in the Mediterranean, the Persian Gulf, and over in the Sea of Japan. And we were stationed near Tokyo for 3.5 years. When I wasn't flying, I was in the Pentagon, and I was doing legislative affairs for the Navy, and I was doing legislative Senate affairs, actually, for the Office of the Secretary of Defense. So Bank of America's been in the military space since 1920, and we had a full up-round military segment who needed somebody in the Washington, D.C. arena on the government relations front. And so I got a call from them. And I'd been pursuing my last year in the Navy about four avenues: nonprofits, defense contractor, maybe teaching a little bit, and then also the financial sector. So it was an area that I was pulsing, and then got the call, and it seemed to be a pretty good fit.
When you were doing your transition, were you, you know, you said you were kind of pursuing these different things. Were you actively looking? Were you networking? I mean, in terms of advice you would give to somebody, were you kind of putting yourself out there, or did you have contacts already from former people who had made the transition already?
It was the most difficult mission that I had, and I didn't have a set of orders. Mm-hmm. And my advice to those who are leaving any military service is to write your own set of orders and realize that you've got a new mission and realize you've got to talk about yourself. And you know how it is. There's a lot of military members talk about the team and, you know, a higher purpose and everything else, and getting that done, and the results, you know, of your unit, your battalion, your squadron.
Right.
But this is a time now to talk about yourself and kind of whittle it down and nut it down to the essence of who you are, what you've done, and what you can do for whatever, large or small company.
Without question. I like that. Yeah. Write your own set of orders. A lot of times, you know, we think about in the military, you got to have a mission. And then a lot of times, you know, when that transition, like, what's my mission at that point? And writing your own set of orders, I like that. Lewis, let me jump to you. You know, what was your story? You served in the Gulf War like I did.
Yeah, so Gulf War I era vet, left the Army at a little different time, not much different than it is today in terms of downsizing, but different time in the country. There wasn't this overwhelming what the chairman's office has determined sea of goodwill. Right. So people appreciated my service, but there wasn't joining forces. There wasn't this overwhelming support to hire veterans. So you serve in the Army, great. Let me give you your first real job. And I'll talk about real jobs in a few minutes. But so I struggled a little bit to figure out how to connect those dots. And it was those vets that I met in the business community that really got me into the business world.
Right.
So into private banking, where I stayed for almost 15 years. Okay. and was doing some work, some volunteer work for the bank in the military space, and had the opportunity to have that work recognized, and then was asked to take on a larger role for the firm to lead some of our initiatives. So it's all those things that we learn when we're enlisted, when we're an officer, is getting the job done. How do I, you know, move the mountain? We'll figure out how to move the mountain if you give us time to do that.
Right.
The resources exist today to help move that mountain a little easier than they used to in 1995, 1996.
Right. You know, for both of you, when we think about kind of veterans, and everybody's saying that it's crazy not to hire veterans. I mean, you're hearing that over and over again, but we still also feel like we've got this major problem that veterans are underemployed. We've got homeless veterans. We've got, you know, a dynamic that veteran spouses are not being hired and everything else. So it's almost two different messages being kind of put out there that, you know, we want the veterans, get them in here and everything else, but then we hear the rates, right? You know, when we think about veterans in terms of a corporate space, and we think about kind of employers, and now you guys are in there, what do you think that the veterans bring to the table? And do you think that, you know, corporations are really serious about this, or is this kind of just, you know, political goodwill for the moment?
No, I think corporate America gets it.
Okay.
And we've been, since day one, involved with the Joining Forces Initiative out of the White House. Mm-hmm. And also we've got a 2-year partnership with the Bush Institute, mm-hmm. and their military service initiative from President 43 from George W. Bush. And so there's lots of convenings and with the Center for New American Security and, you know, big and small and mid-sized companies coast to coast, Derek, get it. They are hiring vets, some at higher rates than others, just based on their particular industry. And, you know, some will say we're going to hire 30% vets, and others will kind of come up with a different number. But I think the theme there is that all of these companies do value and appreciate the talent and the work ethic and the attitude that veterans bring. And really, the soft skills, you know, if you've been in the military for 3 days, you're teaching something.
Right.
You're an instructor in something
That's right.
And so that. And
you learn that they say, you know what, if somebody falls, if another person, I know in the Marine Corps, I'm sure everybody, you learn that. If somebody falls above you, you got to take that mission. You got to take the next step.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, battlefield promotion or whatever.
Right.
So be ready, take over. And so that fluidity and sort of a crisis action mentality is also very valued. You know, it's chaos in the military service in some ways, whether you deploy. I mean, things never go as planned. So that in and of itself is a very valuable attribute that I think is recognized by companies big and small.
Derek, I want to take you back 40 years, 1974. Mm-hmm. It's May 4th, Democratic primary in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Ohio. John Glenn mm-hmm. and Howard Metzenbaum are facing off in the primary. And Metzenbaum was leading. Metzenbaum was a successful business mm-hmm. Businessman. And about 3 weeks earlier, he had challenged Glenn on a stump speech and had made the comment that Glenn had never had a real job. So that night at the Democratic primary, when Glenn had the opportunity to speak, he opened up his speech by saying, "Howard, I can't believe you said I didn't have a real job. I served 23 years in the United States Marine Corps. I fought through two wars and flew 149 missions. I'll paraphrase the rest of this. You can't say that I didn't have a real job. You go to with me to a Gold Star mother and you tell her her son or daughter didn't have a real job. Mm-hmm. You go with me to Arlington National Cemetery where I have more friends than I care to admit, and you tell mm-hmm. me those men and women didn't have mm-hmm. real jobs. I tell you, Howard, it wasn't my checkbook on the line. It was my life on the line. That's right. And that's the job that I had. And so it's these men and women who every day required the dedication of purpose and the love of country and the dedication to duty that makes their life more important than itself. So that's why we hire veterans. So you tell me I didn't have a job. Right. And so the real job that we can teach them the hard skills.
Right.
What we can't teach in a short period of time is all those things that Senator Glenn articulated well in his speech. He went on to win the primary, and serve, I think, four terms in Senate. Yeah. So think about that message 40 years ago applicable to today.
That's powerful. We got to take a break, but you sent it off on a powerful message right there. I sent chills right there. That touched me right there.
Right.
You know, something I need to also remember, because it is about the sacrifice. It is about the service. And whether you have been on the line or whether you've been in the rear, you have been willing to serve and you've been willing to put your life on the line.
Right.
For the country. And that's an honor that we have to always say, you know what, we have to always pay tribute to that, you know, and show that kind of dynamic of valor and courage no matter what you do. We're listening about Bank of America. We're talking about what they're doing for veterans. We're talking to two of the executives. Jeff and Lewis are in here. They're two of the executives, Jeff Cathy and Lewis Runyon. They're two of the military executives at Bank of America, focusing in on military issues, on veteran issues, on transition issues, on providing products and services to veterans. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veterans. We're talking about veteran hiring. We're talking about the corporate commitment to veterans. We're talking about Bank of America today. We're talking about what they are doing in order to hire vets, to support vets, military banking products, making sure they bring veterans on board to have them work in Bank of America and in corporate settings and banking and everything else in a number of different positions, and also giving money, philanthropy, giving money to certain organizations in order to support veteran causes. We're talking about all these things today. We've got Jeff Cathy and Lewis Runyon. They're both military executives focusing on the military and veteran issues at Bank of America. They're in studio with me. We're doing a special taping on Veterans Day today. So they're in the studio on Veterans Day. So I just want to thank you guys for coming out on Veterans Day. A lot of people have it as a holiday, but I want to thank you for taking the time for coming down to the studio. That shows a commitment right there. Let me talk about Bank of America. What is Bank of America doing in terms of veterans and military? I mean, what's the commitment from the bank in saying this is what we're going to do?
Thanks, Derek. We've been doing quite a bit for a long time, and we've supported the military since 1920 on many different fronts, and in products and services and banking, even the community banks on military installations overseas. And we do that via a contract with the Pentagon, the Defense Finance and Accounting Services, and we've been there as a sole provider of those services since 1980. And so we've had a military segment, and we... You know, we know the military customer and who they are and their reliability, and it's a very attractive customer to have. But what we've done since, probably just about the last 3 years, is we stood up this military affairs team that Dayton Warfel's on and Lewis Runyon and myself. And it's not like the senior leadership at the Bank of America said, go do good things. I mean, they supported in big ways, and they provided resources, and they've led efforts, and publicly they've made the comments, and we brief them on a regular basis and get guidance and support from them. And so it's bank wide. It's a senior leadership, from our CEO Brian Moynihan to the senior management team, and everyone is they're involved in what we do, which is to take an enterprise approach to what the bank's doing on hiring and philanthropically, and on public policy and property donations and sponsorship and marketing and communications, really across all lines of business, so that we have a cogent approach to everything that we're doing to support active duty service members and their families, as well as the veterans.
Louis, chime in.
Yeah, I would add to that. It's not just the external reach that you see, but we build internal programs. So in hiring the veterans, we've made a commitment to hire 10,000 veterans over the next 5 years.
Right.
As we onboard those veterans, so first of all, we want to be sure that we put them in the right jobs. It's training our HR and our hiring managers on how to read a military resume, because most vets that come out write resumes still in military format.
Jargon, yeah.
They still try and talk. So we've taken the step. Let's train our internal, our non-military recruiters to understand what those things are. Onboard them through specific onboarding programs. Provide mentorships for the vets. So it's not just about let's say we'll commit to 10,000 and hire them, but how do we retain them? How do we help them grow in their career? How do we help them identify their career earlier, before they leave active duty? And by the way, it doesn't stop just with vets. It's their family members as well. So we built spousal programs internal. So if I have a military spouse internal, husband or wife is PCSing. They now become a priority of ours to get them a job in the new market. Makes sense for us, right? Because they're a known entity. They know our systems. Why wouldn't we help them with that PCS move? So, the company, as Jeff articulated, the senior leadership of the firm, it's not just said, hey, you guys go do good things and let us know. They're really bought into what we do. And if we have an issue, we can take it to senior leadership, and it's addressed very quickly.
You know, I think many people don't understand. I mean, we've kind of all been there, been overseas, this, that, and the other. What's the difference between a military member who has to do certain things and their access to money or access to resources versus a person who is just, not a regular person, but just a person who's not in the military and doesn't have to deal with deployments and transition all the time and having to move every couple of years and everything? What's the difference between those two dynamics from your guys' standpoint and how banking really helps to work with that?
It's got to work. It's got to be mobile. It's got to be online. It's got to be readily accessible, Derek. And you know, if you're in the hills of Afghanistan, or if you go dark for several weeks at a time and you've got a spouse or, next of kin or somebody, a friend or somebody that you're counting on back in the States sort of as a backup, that's got to be available to you as well. If you're out on a ship on deployment or something and they shut down all the internet access, so you've got to have a good relationship with the bank to be able to, and you've got to have the people at the bank understand your deployment cycles and what it is you need. And we've run into a lot of that with the Service Members Civil Relief Act, right? And so there's products and, whether it's an automobile, whether it's your home, or whether it's your credit card that service members by law have protections.
Right.
And so we have to know what that law reads. Right. And so whether it's actions or whether it's interest rate benefits or eligibility or whatever. So we are very closely tied in with the Department of Defense's manpower database on who is active duty. How can we track them? How can we be proactive? And we reached out with the National Economic Council out of the White House about 2 or 3 months ago. And President Obama mentioned it August 29th down in Charlotte at a American Legion conference, and 4 or 5 banks signed on to it and said, look, we're going to be, instead of reactive, we're not going to make the soldier call us. We're going to go out there and figure out who they are, what eligibilities they have, what rate benefits they have, and we're going to go find them, knock on the door, so to speak, and say, hey, all your products, your credit card, your car, your mortgage, everything else is covered. So that's been good. You got to be pretty aggressive on that.
Yeah. What are you about to say, Louis?
I would say that this era of veteran is more educated today than any I've ever seen.
Okay.
I sat down in a room about a year ago with a group of NCOs and younger enlisted, and those kids knew what the rates were. They knew what the benefits were.
They challenged you a little bit, right?
It was waterboarding bank style, right?
They knew what was going on.
So we've got a really well-educated consumer in the military space. And, we find at the bank that those clients are actually last longer with us. They're more sticky. They buy more products. And one of the things that they can help us do is communicate a little bit. So when they do deploy and they do need things, communicate better. And the last thing I'll add is that unlike the normal retail customer, we do have the military family that supports those service members deployed. So if we do need to reach out to them, we can work through their command to help.
Right. I'm looking at your website right now, and you guys have on the transition resources. You talk about a couple of different things: personal development, talk about corporate communication and talk about business skills, you know. And this, I mean, of course, you know, the banking sector is a business, you know, dynamic. And of course, you know, the when we think about it and they translate it, actually the military, the business, we're very operational. We're very, you know, we're talking business too, but a lot of people don't understand that. Do you find that you know, when you talk about onboarding, do you find that the transition dynamic for veterans is easy or hard? I mean, what have you found in terms of an onboarding process, and how have you made it more effective?
It's not easy, Derek. It's, you know, it's an evolution to get there. And then, you know, is there buyer's remorse? Did I pick the right place?
Right,
this what was sold to me? And everything else. And then you go home and go, okay, is this really where I need to be? And so that happens. I think really anyone picking up a new career in a job. So what we do, and Lewis alluded to this, is we've got employee networks that are military focused. We've got 29 chapters. It's called a military support and assistance group.
Okay.
And they're coast to coast, and we've got one in London. And so these are, and they're staffed by about 6,000 people, and they are either former military, about 60% of them, or just have an affinity or brother or sister or father that was in the military. So this is part of our, we recruit them and we bring them on board and properly welcome them, make them feel at home, show them some of the resources that are available as a mentor, or if they're a reservist or a National Guard and they're going to deploy again, if they want a sponsor to stay in touch with somebody back at the bank, we'll do that as well. So that outreach continues. And really, we're interested in not just the quantity and some numbers and so forth, but the quality of the hire and the stickiness. And we want to retain them. And we want this place to be a career for them if they so choose and it works out.
Right. Oof.
Yeah, Derek, I think the part of the question you said is, what are some of the challenges? And it's the service members understanding what their value is and how to articulate that to us. And the best example I can give is we created an internship, a military internship program for our banking and markets. So think about Wall Street jobs we created. So 10-week program. If you do well, a job offer. So we're in interview day, and I have a,
now these are people who are currently military. Or this is kind of like when you transition.
They've just transitioned out,
gotcha.
Or in this particular case, transitioned out, finished his degree, and then so he's sitting down in front of me to interview. He is an E-5 in the Marine Corps.
Okay,
had been a scout sniper, assistant team leader. So he goes through all these things that scouts and I was, sir, I was an NCO, non-commissioned officer. I had operational control of XYZ.
Right.
So I listen to that stuff and I go, stop. So you're a sniper. How did you shoot?
Right.
And he started to laugh. He said, no. And actually it's, we observe the battlefield. We monitor changes. We report trends. So we're looking for all this change. And I said, really, what, you're an analyst, right?
Right.
And he said, well, I guess, yeah, that's right. So it's, look, the next interview you had is the head of analytics for the bank, the chief analyst for the bank. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to go through what you just went through with me.
Mm.
So that gentleman is now an analyst on Wall Street.
Right.
He's been there 18, 19 months. Now, here's the funny part. He's a Marine, but he focuses on apparel.
Right, okay. we're stylish. We are stylish. I'm sure what you're trying to say.
That's the point. If he would have just gone through that interview with all the, and fortunately I knew what he had done, but had he gone through that interview with a civilian who didn't understand the background and couldn't get him to articulate in the terms of what's a job skill set you're bringing to the table. So now they asked me to go find more scout snipers to be
analyzed,
which is a little bit of a
challenge. Right, that's
and that's
thing.
A good point. I mean,
so we
have to pull. Corporate America has to pull a bit.
Yeah.
And so Lewis pulled that information out of that Marine. And we do the same thing with the website that you mentioned, militarytransition.bankofamerica. And so it occurred to us that, we could insulate ourselves, or we could go out there and open this up and say, hey, what? You know, we're more than just tellers. You know, we're global banking and markets. We're wealth management. We are retail. We're contact centers. We're physical security and all IT.
Yeah.
And so many lines of business, HR. And so there's a lot out there, and this is a way to bring them in, kind of scope down the translation of a skill set, and then make it smaller and start down the path of recruiting.
General Dempsey said, we ought to make it a priority to help veterans channel their experience, ethos, and desire for personal challenge into continuing to make a difference. Their strengths are our strengths. They are the steel of America's national character. And we firmly believe that at Bank of America. They are the steel of our character. They help shape our culture. So that's why we want to bring them on board.
I'm about to get you to do quotes on every ending of every segment, right. You know, because you always had that powerful quote. So you got to look for another one right now, Lewis. That's your mission right now. We're talking to Lewis Runyon. We're talking to Jeff Cathy. They are military executives from Bank of America. We're talking about what Bank of America and corporate America is doing in order to help veterans, in order to help military members, in order to help, you know, spouses and everyone kind of make the transition, you know, have what I call success after service. You know, making the transition and to have a successful life after they have served our country so well and so honorably. We're talking about all these things today on Fed Access. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veteran issues. We're talking about veteran transition. We're talking about basically corporate America really providing services and helping veterans get jobs, helping them also get the services that they need if they're in the military and everything else. We're talking about Bank of America and what they're doing. We've got two of their executives in here, Jeff Cathy and Lewis Runyon, both veterans, Navy veterans. Jeff served on the Enterprise. Lewis went and was Gulf War, Army vet, this, that, and the other. And they've got a number of team. They even got a Marine on the team. They didn't bring him today. You know, so
we don't
let him out of the house.
He's scared to fly.
So you know, but happy birthday to that Marine. I'll have to say that to him. But we're doing a special episode right here where we're taping on Veterans Day. They came out of here. They're not local. They came from New York and Tampa, and they came special to Fed Access. And so we appreciate them being here, but talking about what Bank of America is doing. Bank of America is all over the place. All nationwide, international, and everything else. And they're one of the people who provide banking services on DOD, on military installations. And so they have a great stake in terms of the dynamics of military and also making sure that veterans succeed. We're talking about that today. You know, in terms of what you're doing in philanthropy, you know, and giving and outreach and community and everything else, what's going on with Bank of America? What's the commitment? What are you doing in terms of that?
It's one of the many things, Derek, that that we do. We find that, you know, we're just a bank, but if we've got priorities, and if we've got a message, and if we can leverage some relationships and some of our partners, and extend our influence out there and our brand, we're going to do it. And we've done it with small and large military nonprofits like Wounded Warrior Project and Welcome Back Veterans and Student Veterans of America and right. Quantum Leap Farm and Operation Homefront and Mission Continues and Disabled Sports USA. So there's many of them out there. And so our military affairs team works on jobs, education, wellness, and housing. So those are the four pillars that where we focus. And then we bounce our bright ideas off the Bank of America Foundation, who works more on hunger, housing, and critical needs. And so we see if there's an overlap there. And it's up to Lewis and Dayton and myself to vet these 46,000 nonprofits. Yeah. There's a lot of them out
sure.
there, you know.
Sure.
So we'll meet with the executive director, a couple of board members. We'll take a look at their financials over the last 3 years. Before we do that, we, of course, take a look at their mission statement right. and see if there's room to maneuver there and open up a door and build a relationship and so forth. So we've been real pleased. We just culminated today on a six-year campaign called Express Your Thanks.
Okay.
And it's the third year in a row that we've done that. And there was some real energy internally to the bank with employees and also for some of our customers to come in and make a simple gesture, whether it's a picture or just a note of thanks to any deployed Marine or any sailor or any soldier and say, hey, thanks for ensuring our freedom. And so for each one of those expressions, we raised up to $1 million,
nice.
Split evenly between Welcome Back Veterans and Wounded Warrior Project.
Outstanding.
So, yeah.
So if people come in, I mean, if they just come into a Bank of America, maybe with a picture or something, then you guys would donate a dollar?
We'll donate the dollar,
okay.
And then that dollar goes to the nonprofit,
nice.
And we'll cut a check at the end of the year and off they go to do what they can
right.
to help the reintegration efforts of, you know, wounded warriors, or if they've got post-traumatic stress or the brain injury, or, you know, a lot of the veterans come back and whether they're physically or emotionally hurt, just need some breathing right. room. They need right. some space. And whether it's on a college campus or a community college or just sit down for a little while and kind of reset. And we support that and through some of these nonprofits.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Lewis, would you?
Yeah, I would add it. So the $1 million that we gave to the not-for-profits to express your thanks is important, and it'll certainly impact that community. probably what's more important is that we can convey on a broad scope, on a national basis, the message of veterans and the message of service. What we want to avoid, all of us as vets, is this vet pet syndrome where, look, I got my little vet here and
right.
I'm going to give him a little job and he's, you know, I'm happy for him or her.
Yeah.
We clearly want to avoid that and bring these men and women back into our communities that they've either left or the new communities that they're coming to and leverage all those skill sets that they've learned, whether it be over a 4-year enlistment or a 35-year career.
Right.
So I think that's what this message helps us do. Beyond the philanthropy partnerships, we also have partnerships with organizations, Department of Defense, for instance, the Chairman Dempsey's Chairman's Office of Reintegration. So he has a staff headed by Colonel Jim Eisenhower who works with both civilian employers, but private sector, as well as the philanthropies, to find out what are those best practices. They also stay connected to the service members as they leave to find out what their needs are so that we can speed this process up with these 46,000 organizations that are out there. We're all doing a lot of good things, but what works in my hometown might not work in yours, and what are the real needs of the service members? Both the Army and the Marine Corps. Army has Soldier for Life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an alumni program. I'm very excited to see mm-hmm. that. It's really a copy from the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
The Army's just doing it better.
I'm not going to comment on that.
but in all seriousness, the Marine Corps, the chiefs of the Marine Corps and the mm-hmm. Army have realized that keeping connected to those veterans mm-hmm. who served is important. And it's really a part of national mm-hmm. security. Because think about if I have a bad experience in the Army, you come to me to recruit my son or daughter to come back
right.
in,
right.
think about what that service. So as a nation, we have a responsibility as part of our national security to be sure we treat this era of veterans well, because we're going to be asking them to serve again, but their service could be their family members
right.
and their support.
You know, I got a couple of questions are coming to my mind, but let me ask this question first. You know, when we think about this, and a lot of people, we've heard a lot of stuff about the VA and everything else, and you know, hopefully and prayerfully, we're saying, hey, the VA is going to definitely get it together. The VA does a lot of great things, but then we've also heard about some missteps. A lot of people will ask, well, why does corporate America have to step up and do all? Why do we have to have all these nonprofits do all? Why can't the government do this? You know, I mean, if you, when you hear that and you hear, and both of you, you know, serving, you know, what is the answer to that when people want to know, why does it have to be all this additional help?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Derek, this country supports veterans far and away better than any other country. And
mm-hmm.
and we've been overseas, we've had we've hosted foreign nationals, and we do it better here than anywhere else. So you know, the government does what they can, and there's a lot, you know, I mean, during the Vietnam era, there was probably 3 wounded soldiers per killed in action.
Right.
And
right.
now, and suddenly, especially with the improvised explosive devices, that ratio went wounded to killed in action about 8-1.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, you know, the funding mechanism for the VA, they're not gonna lead that. The Congress isn't gonna allocate the money and appropriate it ahead of time. They're gonna wait for, you know, take the
right.
blow, take the body blow, okay, figure this out, okay, this is bad.
Right.
And so the funding at the VA has gone up very well. They're well funded. But to get a big, large 330,000 person organization kind of turned around is like taking USS Enterprise in the Persian Gulf. It's going to take a day and a half, right?
Yeah,
it's
going to
take a while.
Sure.
So they've got a new VA secretary there, McDonald, and he's very good, of course, and so is General Shinseki. Lewis and I went to the VA showcase here in D.C. about a year ago,
okay.
and they showed us in a very rapid succession 6 programs that are very good. I mean, they've got some mental health experts there, and they've got some very good talent. They've got they also now have got the e-benefits, and
mm-hmm.
if you haven't been out there lately and seen it, and I let it just stagnate for a year and a half, and we got the brief, and they showed this slide now. It had the up top labeled DOD/Veterans Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on to the e-benefits, va.gov/e-benefits, and looked at it. And if you want some information on rated schools for college and GI Bill and all your benefits that are out there and accessible, go there.
Okay.
And so there's some good people over there. They do have a challenge,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's in, you know, labor laws and so forth that I don't know much about.
Sure.
But there's good people in the right places there. And now it'll just take a while to get that going. But like Lewis said, you know, we're involved with not only the VA, but the Pentagon, the different services and so forth. And, you know, when you left the military service, you were handed a piece of paper that, and it said it was a VMET, and that acronym is Veteran Verification of Military Education and Training. Mm-hmm. And on that is your hard skills that you picked up during mm-hmm. your military service. And the beauty of it is correlated to Department of Labor codes and OPM, Office of Personnel Management codes. So you already got those, and it says what you've done, your military occupational specialty, mm-hmm. Your Navy enlisted code or whatever. So that's a piece of paper that's got credentials and licensing already. And you take that and you add in your soft skills of leadership and teamwork and results and program management and personnel readiness operations and all that. And that's where, you know, you take all that and corporate America goes, holy cow, I'm getting this, you know, right. this person is, right. you know, this is a
well qualified.
Right?
Yeah. Lewis, I'm going to have you chime in. I got to take a quick break, but I want you to kind of chime in on that. But then I also want to talk about, you know, some of the other programs. You guys are funding research. You're looking at other things. There's a number of different things that you're doing with Bank of America and trying to kind of leverage and kind of understand maybe some more veteran issues and understand how to help and everything else. I want to talk about those things when we come back. We're talking about veteran issues. We're talking about what Bank of America is doing in order to help veterans. Just we're talking about this for the whole month of November as we focus in on making sure that veterans succeed, help them get jobs, help them start businesses, help their families succeed, and everything else, and also help those who are in the military right now make sure that they understand that when they leave, that they have a corporate America, they have their government who's going to come in and take care of them. So we are pushing these issues. We're going to stay on top of these issues. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about veteran issues. We're going to continue to talk about veteran issues. We're going to always talk about veteran issues because I think it's something that's important that we have to keep current and everything else. And so with all of that, we're talking to Bank of America. We're talking about they're one of the largest banks that's out there, and they have committed a number of resources. They've committed to hire 10,000 veterans. They've committed a number of financial resources to support nonprofits who are doing certain things. They're working with partnerships with DOD and other places in order to help those who are currently in the military, but also help those who are transitioning, help them also, whether it be banking services, the job market, housing, wellness, and a number of different things. And so we want to encourage this dynamic with a number of corporate partners. We've got to have that dynamic where our corporate leaders are taking charge and saying, you know what, we have to pay that tribute to veterans. And you mentioned something, Lewis, about kind of the dynamic, and you were kind of talking about it too, Jeff, in terms of, you know, veterans are not, it's not a syndrome like a vet pet. It's not a situation where people need to feel sorry for veterans. Veterans don't want to be felt sorry for. You know, I mean, veterans are a proud group. They're very well qualified, like you mentioned about when you do your VMET and everything else. They don't want to feel sorry, but they do want to feel as if, you know what, when I leave my military service, then I am going to come home to something. I will be able to survive. And we can't recruit good people if they don't think that the nation will take care of them after they, you know, have gone down harm's way. Why would people even serve if I'm going to come back and then the nation doesn't care about me?
Right.
We're talking to Jeff Caffey, talking to Lewis Runyon. Chime in on that. And I want us to go into the dynamics of what we're talking about with the nonprofits and the research you guys are doing as well.
We'll do that. And you're right. Spot on there, Derek. The veterans aren't asking for a handout. They don't want to be treated as a charity case. They do appreciate the support and the thanks and the outpouring and the tangibles and the every time somebody, when I came back from a deployment, said thanks for your service, I turned right around and said thanks for your support, because right. that's what really keeps right. them going, and just right. an engagement. And so they probably just want the civilian sector to know really what they do. I mean, it's a smaller force, they're highly trained, and they're deployed a lot. They're gone a lot. So. When you say support the troops, you do that generically, but you wonder who they are, where they are. Right. And that's really, quite frankly, a lot of the challenge of the country is to go, where do I find a few good men?
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what
exactly.
it is. Yeah, so we're doing some things that will, we can hire a vet, and we're proud to do that. We've got 8,000 at Bank of America today that are veterans and National Guardsmen and active, reservists. And as Lewis said, 10,000 more over the next few years. So we're committed to that as part of our DNA. It's a multi-year commitment, but we've got some other things that we need to do more broadly to lead turn the trends. We know there's a million servicemen and women who are going to come back in the next 5 years and be sitting here side by side with us and wearing a suit instead of a uniform, Army uniform. And so there's some other things that Lewis wants to talk about on what we're doing to lead that.
Yeah, Lewis.
Yeah, and I'll start that off with a quote from General Dempsey. And he said, it's critical that we show the next generation of Americans that military service is noble and worthwhile. And when you sacrifice for your fellow citizens, you'll find strong support when you come home. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind this country has strong support when they come home. Right. But how are we focusing in the right areas? It's not let's take a family on vacation or let's give them something and walk away. But what is that meaningful support? So you touched earlier on our commitment to philanthropy, and we are strongly engaged in what I call traditional philanthropy. We support not-for-profits. But the bank earlier this year took on an initiative to, what is the effectiveness? How do I measure the results? Is it anecdotal? Mm-hmm. And frankly, most of the not-for-profit work that we see is anecdotal. So I'd like to see some statistical data. So there's a new concept called social impact investing. And so think about any government program that is paid for by tax dollars. If I can more effectively run that by delivering an intervention from a not-for-profit and use private capital to do that and have a measured return over a certain period of time, what we're doing is making government more efficient. So we're looking at ways to build these social impact investments. In fact, we'll release a study on December the 3rd that talks about that. So we looked at the whole veteran space. We looked at many of those 46,000 to see who's delivering effective interventions, effective measurable interventions, and how that impacts things like unemployment compensation from the Department of Defense. So that's pretty exciting. Another underserved area we believe is female vets. Definitely. So the homelessness rate in female vets, identifying female vets, what are their leadership attributes and how do they differ from their male counterparts? So we commissioned a study which will be released in January from Center for New American Security to look at specifically leadership traits of female active duty and veterans and their counterparts in the civilian world. So we want to see what is the difference in the two and how do we leverage that as a firm? And by the way, how does DOD, maybe there's some opportunities that DOD could leverage that as well. So it's a double feedback study. We're excited about those sorts of things. So as we look at philanthropy, I don't want to just give to a golf tournament. I don't want to give to a marathon. Sure. We'd like to spend our money on things that have measurable outcomes.
You know, that with all of that, you just kind of, and that kind of goes into my next question. We got a few, almost a minute or so to really kind of talk about it. But with all of that, how are you measuring who you give to? I mean, you mentioned about the 40,000 nonprofits. How are you thinking about who you're going to give to? The golf tournaments, what do you want from it?
We're closely engaged, and everything we do, everything we touch, Derek, is this in our wheelhouse? You know, is this jobs, wellness, education, housing? We've even expanded a little bit to one of the nonprofits does financial services for service members who get hurt. So one day they're active duty pay and health care by the Department of Defense. The next day, if they're hurt, paying health care by VA. And that's going to rock their world. And to give them financial servicing, we're a bank, and to do that and have some of our financial advisors go out there and say, hey, this is, you're in a new tax bracket. Here's how you handle this. Because these men and young men and women now have got to maybe move and move to, a VA center, take their kids out of school. And so it's a whole different world out there. So close engagement, none of them go out without phone calls and meetings all the time. So we check up on that. We review who those nonprofits are. And then as far as those coming in the front door, I mean, they're not victims, they're national assets. Yeah, we see it as Bank of America's civic duty to go pursue them. And we also see it as growing our talent base. And we're looking for results and we're getting them out of them.
Last words. Any last words you guys want to chime quote? In?
Look, it's I'm just proud to be an American, Amen. This country's been great to me, and all we can do is give back.
Happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps, number 239, and happy Veterans Day to you and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi to you. Thank you for your service, both of you. Thank you for what you're doing for veterans. Thank you for, really kind of keeping corporate America on the lead on this, at the tip of the spear on this. We're going to have you back because there's so much we can talk about. And, we want to talk about the studies and everything else after they come back out. So this is not going to be the last conversation for sure. You've been listening to Fed Access. We've been talking to Jeff Caffey, Lewis Runyon from Bank of America, military executives who are focusing in on keeping Bank of America focusing on military and veteran issues. We thank you. Happy Veterans Day to everybody. Happy birthday, Marine Corps. Happy birthday to everybody out there who's serving. Whenever you serve and whenever you listen to this show, we thank you for for your service.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.